TV.
And to think, I thought that I was going to finish 2 Corinthians chapter 5 today. Even the last two verses. I think I was going to finish the last two verses yesterday. No. I knew I had to start at verse 17. But today I'm thinking, I got two verses left. Verse 20 and verse 21. I'll do verse 20 on Wednesday, verse 21 on Thursday. Then I started looking at the notes, did some research on ambassador, went to 1 Timothy 4, 9 through 16, which led me to Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Forget about it. I might be on this one verse to the end of the week. That is verse 20. I am not kidding you. It is so amazing. I was just out there telling Maria. I was just marveling. I said, you know, it's amazing how this Bible that I study, it just keeps going. It keeps giving. I'll never exhaust the topic. People ask my wife, is your husband going to retire? And she just goes, are you kidding? He loves his job. He's going to just continue doing it because for some reason the guy never stops talking about God. She is amazed. She goes, you talk about God on every show, huh? I said, yeah, that's what people want to know about. You know, if I started talking about, you know, the Indianapolis Colts or something, you know, for more than 5 seconds, people might wonder. Yeah, that's what we're all interested in. And so just today before dinner, I told her, and she kind of marvels at that. I said, there's no end. Just when you think you know a certain part of the Bible, it gets richer and richer and opens up new treasures to you. And she had a hard time understanding it. Hell, I have a hard time understanding it. But I am Martin Zender, and it is the nature of God that he's inexhaustible. And yet he does really blow the load on us. He wants us to know him. And but he does that through Paul. And I knew it. Back in, before I even knew there were two evangelists. Must have been back in 81, 82. I'm thinking, I'm reading Paul's letters. There's something different about this guy. He just like blobs all over the page. Nobody else does that. Everybody else is like careful. Everybody else is playing cool, taking it easy a little bit. Everybody else is very formal. And yet this Paul guy, he's saying things almost like he ought not say. He's always over the top. It seemed to me like he was always exaggerating. Come to find out, no, he's not exaggerating at all. He's trying to keep up with the revelations that are being laid on him by the Son of God, who is just blah, laying it all out, probably out of frustration that when he was on earth, he couldn't say any of these things. Oh my God, the frustration our Lord must have felt when he was disguised in his Jew suit, talking to his disciples and talking to the chief priest Nicodemus, who thought that being born again meant the possibility of entering his mother's womb a second time. And poor Jesus, I felt bad for him on the cross, and I still do, but then his life before that was no picnic either. I mean, he was constantly frustrated, constantly going to the mountains to pray, probably just talked nonstop to God, just to vent, just to speak what he knew, to say it unfetteredly, say it to someone who got it, which was his father. Then you have to come down the mountain. Oh, God, coming down the mountain. Not coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. But Jesus Christ came down the mountain. And when he did, it was back to business of dealing with practical morons, but who can't be blamed because of these things. But even the terrestrial things were difficult for these guys to understand. But when you look into the things we're looking into, and you're reading Paul, it's no wonder this guy doesn't think in terms of using punctuation. Every sentence is a run-on sentence. He just goes and goes and goes, and you got to almost feel sorry for his scribe, Tertius. Paul Scribe, he just had to keep up with the guy. And I'm convinced Paul wrote Romans, and I wrote a commentary on Romans, as you know. Spent 3.5 years, 156 parts. I put it in the newsletter. Romans Volume 1 is published, and Volumes 2, 3, and 4 are coming up. They're already written. They're being typeset. But I'm convinced that Paul wrote the entire book of Romans on his feet, pacing back and forth at one, possibly two sittings. Because it was, I think Tertius must have invented shorthand. And these revelations are what we are getting here. This is why I can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, and see all these links that I never saw before, opening up the truth of ambassadorship, which I'm going to give you today. Hang in. And I'm going to continue tomorrow and the next day. And I for some reason, I never looked up the Greek word presbo, P-R-E-S-B-E-U-O, presbu, perhaps it is, bu. I don't know, I'm going to just say presbo. I don't know, but it's the word for ambassador. Host, loaded. Did I introduce myself? Have I introduced myself? I'm Martin Zender. I'm loaded. I'm going to lay it on it today. So, we're in 2 Corinthians. To think that there is a teacher in the body of Christ saying that this doesn't apply to us. This is early letter of Paul's. There's nothing new here. Even though this is how ironic. This is the place where Paul says, all things are new. There has come new. All things are new. Now, that belonged to a previous administration. Now, that's not for us. Oh, my God. The things you're missing, Mr. Pilkington and Mr. Aaron, not Aaron Welch. No, not Aaron Welch, but because Aaron Welch believes the right thing on this. Charles Welch, who invented this idea that Paul's early letters are ancient and primitive and contain nothing new, that all the new and sparkling things are in Ephesians and Colossians. Oh, there are new and sparkling things, but this. Let's read the whole passage again. I'm going to go right through it, and then I'm going to get to the new territory in verse 20, but you got to have context. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Oh, I just saw something else. Even if you're not in Christ, there's still a new creation. Even for the world, there's a new creation. They're just not aware of it yet, just like the conciliation. They're not aware of it. God's conciliated to them. They're not aware of it. God has justified the human race, put the old humanity to death. They're part of the old humanity. The world is the atheist. They're not aware of it. There's a new creation in the mind of God. This actually has not come to pass yet. These other things, they have come to pass. God did crucify the old humanity, past tense. God is conciliated with the world, present fact. But there is a new creation. This is a figure of speech. It's not literally true. But it's not for the world to understand. When we understand it, changes the way we look at things, which is why you are going to wake up in the morning from now on, and in the gloom, the dusky darkness of early morning, whatever time you get up, maybe the sun's shining, the roosters are crowing where you are, you're going to say to yourself or out loud, that which is being observed is temporary. All this is temporary. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. Yet all is of God. This is no accident. This is not a freak show. It's not a freak statement. It's of God, who conciliates us to himself, makes peace between us, with us. He makes peace through Christ, and is giving us the dispensation, the dispensing of that conciliation. Namely, verse 19, how that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. God was doing this work in his Son. While his Son was suffering on the cross, God was not removed from the suffering. God suffered vicariously through his Son. He did not forsake him, our Lord felt like he had, but that was just the way he was feeling. He was having a bad day. It was an awful time for him, and it felt like his Father had forsaken him. I can't blame him. I say that to God in far lesser circumstances. Why have you forsaken me? It seems like it. It's normal. God pats us on the head. He's not upset. He's not angry when you say these things to him. In fact, it kind of endears us to him, I think. I'll never forget there was a server at Red Lobster Restaurant. Some of you may have heard this back in the day, a long time ago, 30 years ago. I'll never forget it, though. He was a seminary student, and he was really excited about his calling, and he was saying, you know, I'm amazed at how when I live a good life, when I'm having a what I consider to be a sinless day. I don't think he said sinless day, but I got the idea that he has these times where, you know how Christians have their check marks and they just feel good about themselves because they base God's opinion of them on their opinion of themselves constantly. He said, when I'm feeling good, it's just amazing how much God blesses me. And even then, ladies and gentlemen, I think the year must have been 1986 or 87. I said, you know what amazes me, sir? It amazes me that when I sin like crazy, when I do all the things that I told myself not to do, but I do anyway, I find that that is when God graces me and lavishes me with love and affection, pats me on the head, rubs my back, kisses me on the neck, and says, well done, good and faithful servant. That poor kid. He dropped the subject after that. And I had to ask for a refreshment of the breadsticks. Breadsticks, as you know, at Red Lobster. No. Cheese rolls. Breadsticks. My mistake. Breadsticks are at the Italian place. Breadsticks are at the Italian place. What the hell's the name of that place? Oh, the cheese rolls at Red Lobster. That's no cheese rolls for you. You make fun of my theological learning. No cheese rolls. Grabs, takes it away. Poor guy. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. That's the secret to that. Somebody tell me the name. Olive Garden. Okay, wow. It's really bothering me. Not reckoning their offenses to them and placing in us the word of conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors. For Christ. Have you seen Christ lately? No? That's because he hasn't been here for 2,000 years. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors as of God entreating through us. Have you seen God lately? No? Well, no one has ever seen God. God's absolutely invisible. No one has seen God. No one has seen Christ. And so, what is the world left with? They're left with their Bibles, the majority of which are mistranslated. 99.9999% of the Bibles hanging around. Add another 9 to that. Are mistranslated. 99.9999% of which teach eternal torment in the Bible because they have verses like Matthew 25:46, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. What? If you're reading that in a book that says the Bible on the front, what are you going to think? Almost can't blame them for thinking that. You have to tell them the Bible wasn't written in English. They're shocked. So they're left with us. The world is left with us. Think about this. Where else is this truth published or proclaimed? Not in the pulpits, not in the religious magazines, not in the English translations that mix up conciliation and reconciliation because they ignore the prefix on catalasso. Apple catalasso, reconciled. Catalasso, conciliated, two different Greek words clearly seen in the manuscripts. What did the King James translators do and the translators of the NASB, the NIV, and other, they treat them the same. Hey, let's just make them both reconciliation. Why would you do that? Because you're missing a huge truth, a sane truth, that right now it's a one-way peace because obviously there is not a peace. There's not a mutual peace between God and humanity because humanity, the majority of which thinks he's crazy. Thanks once again to the church. So they're left with us. We are ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Glad you asked. I'm going to give you the dictionary definition because it's a good translation. But I'm going to look at the Greek word and give you the English element, and that's going to lead us to some other verses that are going to blow your minds, okay? An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic official who represents their home country's government in a foreign nation or international organization. OMG. Highest ranking? Us, highest ranking? Yes, on this earth. We, not the Pope, not any Christian celebrity, not an imam, not a rabbi. We are the highest ranking diplomatic officials on this planet representing our home country's government. And what is our home country? Oh my God. Philippians 3:20. Our realm is inherent among the celestials, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also. My God. Our realm is inherent among the celestials. That's our home country. Paul writes concerning those in the book of Hebrews, they're seeking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And they wander about on this planet like aliens, expatriates, geniuses from another realm, stuck in primitive world. And for all the glitz and glamour and reputation, for all the diplomas hanging on the wall of all the Illuminati, the glitterati, the Christianati, we are the highest ranking diplomatic officials. So who do we represent? First of all, who do these other religious notables, these religious fame seekers, television stars, who do they represent? Well, I will tell you this. The Baptist preachers represent the Baptist church. The priests represent the Catholic church. The Church of Christ pastors represent the Church of Christ. My son Paul represents whatever church he belongs to. Our government, as our Lord said to Pilate, is not of this world. We represent the celestial realm where God and Christ are. They have not been heard from lately. So they speak to human beings under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God in Christ wrote the scriptures through human beings under very unusual circumstances, namely inspiration of the Holy Spirit that these men wrote, not realizing what they were writing. Scripture tells us they did not write it according to their own desires, according to their own ideas. These weren't their ideas. Most of the time, they didn't even know what they were writing, especially John on the island of Patmos. Feel sorry for that guy. That guy probably thought he had ingested some magic mushrooms out there on the island of Patmos. Write down what you see. He writes it down and then looks at it. Says, what the hell is that? And that word has been miraculously preserved. And that word can be cut. And it should be cut. And it needs to be cut into two sections. Not the Old and the New Testament. But those scriptures written to Israel and those scriptures written to the nations. Those scriptures written to Israel through a handful of various writers, different backgrounds, different dispositions. And one group of letters, 13, written by one man who was so full of new information new revelation concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and what it accomplished. That whenever he dictated letters, he couldn't sit down. He paced the room. And it was for us, and we have this information. Let's go back. We have this information, and we are ambassadors. For Christ, then. Placing in us. I looked at this word, too. It's just so delicate and so nice of a word. Placing in us. Because it's delicate. Paul is so concerned that the teaching be correct. Placing in us. Doesn't shove it in us. Doesn't cram it in us. Doesn't it load it down and tamp it down like a shotgun? Placing. I love this word. He's the placer. God's the placer. He placed in us the word of the conciliation. Now, that doesn't mean that we are obligated. And somebody might be getting nervous. 4 or 5 people, I know who they are, and getting nervous thinking Martin's telling me I should be an ambassador. I have to be an ambassador. I have to speak this. I have to share it, or I'm not an ambassador. No, Martin's not saying that. You have to keep going back to Philippians when Paul says, those who are mature may be disposed to this, and if in anything you are differently disposed, God will make this evident to you. Placing in us the word of the conciliation. It's there. We know about it. And I'm not telling you to go out there and get a bullhorn or stand on a soapbox and tell everybody, God's at peace with you. No matter what you think about him. Boy, but that would be good, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be amazing? Can you imagine somebody saying that with a bullhorn on a street corner? You think, oh God, here's a insane Christian preacher. Sorry for the redundancy there. Here's one of those insane street preachers. But this guy says, God's at peace with you. It doesn't matter what you think about him. It doesn't even matter if you believe in him. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to say the sinner's prayer. You don't even have to like God. You can hate God. But he's still at peace with you. Couldn't love you more. Why? Because of what his son did on the cross. Hey, you over there. Stop that. What are you doing repenting? What are you doing feeling guilty? What are you doing? Well, you can repent as long as you understand the meaning of the word, which is to change your mind. I want you to change your mind about everything you ever thought you knew about God. I want you to change your mind about everything you heard about God in the churches of your parents. It's all wrong, ladies and gentlemen. God is bigger, smarter, more loving, more generous, more effective. And his son actually accomplished what he came to earth to do, which is to save sinners. And you're all sinners. And I'm not asking you to be anything else but a sinner. And I'm telling you that while you are still a sinner, God is at peace with you. You don't have to stop sinning.
What'd that guy say?
You don't have to stop sinning.
Can you imagine hearing that on the street corner?
Placing in us the word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors as of God. Now we're going from Christ. For Christ, we are ambassadors. Let's read that definition one more time. Sorry. The highest ranking diplomatic official who represents their home country's government. If this doesn't make you feel better about yourself, I don't know what will. Who represents their home country's government in a foreign nation. Hell, foreign nation. We're in a foreign world. We're in a foreign cosmos. We're in a foreign planet. Or international organization. Oh, we're in a wicked international organization called President Wicked Eon. And we are aliens here. We don't belong here. And yet we are ambassadors. We have been sent. We have been placed here, just as God placed in us the word of the conciliation, which no one else has. I'm freaking out over this, really. Where else is anybody going to hear this?
Where? Tell me. God is at peace with you? What, God is at peace with you no matter what you do? Where? Nowhere. A handful of people who read the Concordant Literal New Testament. And just when you think, Martin, that's impossible. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, no, look at the precedent then. Moses, one guy. That's even weirder. That's even more strange. It's even more unlikely. One man. Did I say Moses? Noah. Moses, too. What a freak. But Noah, bigger freak. Noah. A herald of righteousness. All alone. I don't get any indication that his wife or his kids helped him preach. I don't get any indication that he set up a church. I don't even get any indication that he had a soapbox, although he could easily make one with spare gopher wood, stand on it. So you can see there's a precedent for this. One guy among 8 billion people. That is the estimated population of the world at the time of Noah, if you can believe it. We looked it up, not that anybody can know for sure. We looked it up when I was living in Pennsylvania. Wonder how many people lived in the days of Noah. You usually get this low ball. People low ball it all the time. They could have been more than 100,000 people on the planet. You got to be kidding me. These people lived for hundreds of years and they multiplied like rabbits. All they did all day was have sex and have babies. I mean, when I hear somebody has like 15 grandkids, I'm freaking out. These people had 15,000 grandkids. Literally. Which gives new meaning to the Lord saying, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He then gives a list of things, eating, drinking, marrying, taking in marriage, but he doesn't say, and it's going to be the same population. When you see the Earth's population reach 8 billion people, as it is today, I want you to know that that's exactly how many people were alive in the days of Noah. Get it? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But he doesn't do that. We have to put it together. And we do. We're supposed to. Okay? That's not inspired word of God. That's just my opinion. Highest ranking diplomatic officials represent their home country's government. That's what we're called. I got to give you the meaning of this word in the Greek. My God. Presbuo. Presbuo. I don't pronounce. I don't guarantee my Greek pronunciations. And it means be, it doesn't mean this, but this is the English elements. It means ambassador. I'm not going to make the mistake Clyde makes and say that the English elements are the meaning of a word. That's what made him, caused him to make the huge mistake of now saying that the word grace means joy. It doesn't. Just because it's the English element doesn't mean it's the meaning of the word. Presbo, here it is. I'm going to have to continue this tomorrow because this is a whole thing all by itself. To be senior. That's what led me to Timothy. Okay, tomorrow we're going to get into that, but let me go back and just fawn over this one more time before I run out of time. God, for Christ, then, we are ambassadors. I'm tempted to go back and read that definition again. So amazing is, as of God, it's just like, but it's not exactly it, but it's just like, as of God entreating through us. God, the creator of everything, God, the absolute deity, who cannot be expressed so great as he had to create an image. God is entreating, what? The world through who? Us. God is entreating the world through us. What's the message? The message is be conciliated to God. I'll get more on that message tomorrow and the next day, but why would anyone want to be conciliated to God? Because without exception, and without reason except the grace in his own heart, and without looking at the worthiness of the object or considering the acts of the object, God has declared to the human race, because of the death of Christ, I am at peace with you.